about to embark on a great journey. Let the new age of enlightenment begin.
Projection, but it's me, Andrew Mallet, presenting a special on Leg Puppy, who are with me. Well, Darren from Leg Puppy is with me now, and it's his show, so it's quite right too. Darren, welcome to your own show.
Welcome to my own show. Welcome, Darren. Welcome. Welcome, Andrew. Welcome.
Thank you. It's very exciting to have a bit of a comeback.
Actually, sorry, I've always wanted to do that because I watched Premier League football once, and Andrew Cole. Welcomed himself to basically the presenter said, Andrew Cole, welcome to Sky Sports, and he said, welcome. He welcomed himself to his own to the show, so I basically welcomed myself to my own show.
Well, it's as good a place as any to do it. The reason we are here, now we have started the show with Lucid, which is the first track on the brand new Leg Puppy album, You Should Be Paranoid, which is out on February the 2nd. And that's why we're here. It's a special show. You must be very excited about this.
I am bouncing off every single wall. It's been a year in the making, probably more. It's kind of a personal project with a lot of my friends involved. I am excited. Just finished the tour.
Yes. Well, we're going to come on to that. We're going to hear every track on the album and we're going to chat about... all sorts of things. The first thing I think we need to clear up, the name Leg Puppy, which a lot of people say to me they find quite interesting. I actually don't know the history behind the name. I mean, I understand what a leg is, I understand what a puppy is, but I don't know why the band is called that.
It's quite a good story, actually. Me and Claire, Claire's obviously in Leg Puppy, we was at a house party in Wales a few years ago. Everyone was being really pretentious and going, oh yeah, I'm in a band called The Bottlenecks. Yeah, I'm in The Tree Hugs. And they asked us if we was in a band, and Claire said, yep, we're called Leg. And I said, yep, Puppy. That was it. I could have said, the first word that came to my head, it could have been Poo. It could have been called Poo Puppy.
Or Leg Poo.
Or Leg Poo. There you go. That was honestly how it started. And then we kind of just progressed from there. So this was 16 years ago.
I thought, I was convinced you were going to say a story about being at a friend's house and someone had a dog and they started jumping up your leg and that sort of thing, but that's not... That's
well, there is a sub-story to that. I did watch The Secret Lives of Human Pups a few years ago, and it's... have you ever seen it?
No. I feel like I'm missing out though.
You're missing out. Let me just clarify this. I am not a human pup. But this was one of the best shows I've ever seen, where these grown men...
People, all right, I understand what you mean.
So these grown men dress up as pups, and they go to wherever, you know, a meeting, and there'd be like a big dog owner, and he would have his clan, so there'd be like submissives and doms. And these grown men will act as puppies, and that's basically it. But it's like a secret society. But fair play to these guys, they're living out their dream. It's not my idea of a dream, but I actually found it really inspirational. I actually wrote my first song, Puppy Play, about that song, about that experience.
I'm really feeling like I'm missing out on life as well. But well,
there's still time.
Well, that's one thing we've cleared up. Maybe we'll talk about Bass Puppy later. But So the album, we're going to play the tracks in order. Before we hear the second track, we heard Lucid there. I'm going to talk about as well over the course of the show, the different sort of styles that you have within the electronic feel. But Lucid, you know, very psychedelic feel, which sort of comes in and out of a lot of your tracks. Is there anything about Lucid in particular that we should know about?
About 10 years ago, I used to get, well, probably longer than that, I used to get sleep paralysis. And I would see weird things in my bed. I would have flatmates come into my room and doing things to me. This is in a dream, obviously. it was quite severe and incredibly scary. And I went and saw a hippie therapist who hypnotized me.
Hippie hypnosis?
A hippie hypnosis. And he basically cured my sleep paralysis, but it's always been with me, and it is a real thing, or people think you're making it up. There's a thing where you see the shadow man, and it's like when you're going into your REM, so you're starting to dream, so your body is asleep but your mind is awake, and that is when you start to see and hear things and feel things, but you're just dreaming. So lucid is kind of about the shadow man, and the psychedelic feel is kind of encapsulating that experience.
I see, and okay, fair enough. Very well described, but as a sort of a style of music as well, the psychedelic, so, which, like I said, is not in all of your tracks, but comes in and out. Is there some sort of 70s influence behind that or anything like that? I mean, I know we'll talk about 90s dance music and stuff like that, but is there any kind of sort of background as to?
I would say one of the greatest bands of all time, one of the most influential bands of all time, are the Velvet Underground. I don't want to be a band that just does electronic music. I don't want to be a band that just does this. I sort of coined the term genre benders, which is quite a good name, and I think we are.
When did you coin that?
It's all coming out, isn't it? Puppy play, genre benders. We'll talk about the fetish stuff later. Yeah.
No wonder you live such a lavish lifestyle. Feeding off the royalties of all these phrases you've copyrighted.
I love drum and bass, I love trip hop, I love, like you said, 90s dance music, I love a lot of 60s, I love a lot of 70s. There's just so much incredible music out there to be inspired by. And that's what we're about. We just don't want to be defined by one sound. I think that's important.
I think that's fair. I think you succeed in that, and everyone who maybe hasn't heard the music so much will be more familiar with it across the show. So, track two on the album, Silence 23. One of my friends is obsessed with the number 23. Actually, she'd be very pleased that you've put that in there. Is there? I don't want to ask you with every single track, oh, what's that about? But so maybe think of something different to tell us about each track. But Silence 23, what's that all about?
I'm not going to lie, 23 just fitted when I wrote it.
Okay.
But basically, that is a song about past life regression. So
Of course.
I did a past life regression experience a couple of years ago. It changed my life. It gave me the confidence to be in a band. It gave me the confidence to go on stage and swear at people.
Well, we're going to come on to that on the next track, but yes.
It was, I'll say that was quite a defining part of my life, because you get to a certain age in life when you just change, don't you? And I think that helped me be more confident and know who, God, it sounds so pretentious, doesn't it? But just know who you are more.
Who are you?
I'm Led Puppy. Are you Led Puppy?
Well, I feel like I will be by the end of this.
I should have said I'm Alan Partridge then, shouldn't I?
Yeah. let's hear the track, and then we'll be back to talk about one of our favourite topics, people walking around taking selfies. But for now, this is Leg Puppy, Silence 23. Sail away, shipwreck, emergency.
Back to you.
where you must hide behind your computer screens. You must bury your head in your handheld Twit machine. You must upload 25 photos a day. You must be slim. You must be good looking. And you must be very, very happy. Welcome to the age of narcissism, my friends. You're a selfie stick, a narcissistic prick.
Fans are like my posts, retweeting all my tweets, eating them like toast, selfie stick. Instagram that pic, Snapchat me a vid, I show you my dick. Selfie stick, selfie stick. Fans are like my posts, retweeting all my tweets, eating them like toast, selfie stick. Instagram that pic, Snapchat me a vid, I show you my dick. Selfie stick, selfie stick. Selfie stick, a narcissistic prick. Selfie stick. Selfie stick, a narcissistic dick. Retweeting all my tweets, eating them like toast, selfie stick. Instagram that pic, Snapchat me a vid, I'll show you my dick. Selfie stick, selfie stick. Fans are like my post, retweeting all my tweets, eating them like toast, selfie stick. Instagram that pic, Snapchat me a vid, I'll show you my dick. Selfie stick, selfie stick. A narcissistic prick, I'm a selfie stick. A narcissistic prick, I'm a selfie stick. A narcissistic dick, I'm a selfie stick. Selfie stick, selfie stick. Can't seem to stop grabbing her bare boobs in latest Instagram posts. Rachel from Boy Meets World is a total babe now. Charlotte shows off all kinds of sexy with topless and panty pics. Some of the shit they come out with. I'm ready for the red carpet. I'm glamorous with extra mascara. Sending kisses to all my fans and babes. You lot are special. Love heart emoji. Emojis all round. Happiness emoji. Love emoji. Love heart emoji. You lot are special. I'm ready for the red carpet. Retweeting all my tweets, eating egg hot toast, selfie stick. Instagram that pic, Snapchat me a bit, I'll show you my dick. Selfie stick, selfie stick. That's a lot more post. Retweeting all my tweets, eating egg hot toast, selfie stick.
That, of course, was the very unmistakable sound of Selfie Stick by Leg Puppy.
Oh, Selfie Stick Narcissistic Prick.
Oh, full title.
Yeah, actually got you a little bit of tongue-tied then, didn't it? You got a bit confused.
Yes, and I've seen you perform that song a few times on stage, and it's a very good illustration and example of this... of the style, particularly in the live shows, that sort of emotion and aggression and I guess, controlled aggression. Some people are intimidated by it, and some people obviously love it. It's a bit sort of, it's almost like sort of punk as electronic music. And I'm wondering whether you sort of intentionally tried to do that. It seemed very natural on stage, swearing and stuff like that. I'm curious as to whether you sort of make yourself be like that, or whether, you know.
Of course I do. I'm quite a chilled out, laid back person. I don't get very angry at all. But when I'm on stage, I'm a character. So you have to get inside the character, and that is what Leg Puppy is about. It's not just about music. It's about Leg Puppy world. Join us. Join our gang. And it's just basically a way of venting out stuff that pisses you off. And the whole selfie culture does piss me off, because you get unbelievably talented musicians, poets, artists uploading their work online, they might get one or two retweets, and you get some twat.
That's what you were going to say then, yeah? Keep it light.
Some twat uploading a photo, hashtag look at my puppies, and he's showing his muscles, and they get 1,000 retweets. I mean, it's like I said before, welcome to the age of narcissism, and this is where we are.
So do you find in everyday life, away from the music, do you get angry about things all the time?
There's only a few things that really piss me off. That is one, the selfie culture. Second is, it wouldn't make a very good song, but people who eat crisps and popcorn the cinema.
Okay. Well, that, yes, I associate with that. And people that know me well, I know this interview's not about me, but people eating generally, you know, in transit, on public transport, but... it's actually reached a point where even people eating quietly annoys me. So I'm in trouble.
I'm not bothered about people eating on London Transport. It's just a cinema, because you're trying to sit there and listen and watch and take in these various emotions that are being thrown at you, and you've got someone going...
Yeah.
Like me and Claire actually went to see the Babadook, and we talk about this moment. We were sitting there, and this couple arrived late. He's sitting there going... He's slurping. She's on her phone. And if anyone makes a noise, she's going... And it was just like, I said to Claire, don't say anything, because we get a slap. Because me and Bev, this is another story, it's getting really boring, isn't it, you know? Me and Bev, we're at a Nicolas Cage film, which is crap anyway. This couple turned up late, and Bev turned around and said to them, by the way, Bev is one of the singers of Leg Puppy.
Yes.
Excuse me, are you going to keep talking throughout the film, or just now? And she turned around and goes, you fucking bitch, you're lucky I don't flaps you.
I see. There you have it.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, it's an interesting thing. The addiction for people, you know, and I've been guilty of this, and I'm trying to improve.
Must admit, you are Mr. Selfie.
Well, I'm trying. It's not so much about selfies, but people being dependent on phones and stuff like that. That's where it's interesting. The whole thing for me, and I found personally, it's peaked with the enjoyment of being able to do it, and now I actually have to, almost for physical as much as mental reasons, have to do it less. It's sort of, it's become too much, and I think that the culture, obviously, is that's the life we all live in.
Well, it was Gil Scott Heron who wrote The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, and then obviously Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy recorded Television, the Drug of the Nation. And that song, I am actually going to rewrite that so no one copy it. Social media, drug of the nation. It is a drug. People rely on it. People are addicted to it. You know, I'm not going to lie. The irony of selfie stick is I am a selfie stick, a narcissistic prick. And I actually say that at our gigs. I'm actually having to go at everyone, including me. Because I am a selfie stick, a narcissistic prick.
I thought you were performing some sort of therapy exercise.
But that's why I always say, yeah, come join us on stage. Get your narcissism out.
People are way too scared to join you on stage.
Oh, I love that. It's brilliant.
I don't know where it will all end. It's hard to predict, because it feels like it will all implode. But I guess we'll find out. That's track 3 on the album. Which, again, to remind everybody, February the 2nd. It's out presumably on every conceivable digital platform, or are you being selective where it's going to be?
Absolutely everywhere, because you have to, because we're all selfie sticks, so I've got to put it out everywhere. So it will be out everywhere, plus CDs.
CDs?
Well, sort of, but white labels.
Okay.
For special people. I'll give you one tonight.
Yeah, I'm not leaving without
a
signed white label.
Special white label, yeah.
So we've heard three tracks from the album. Control is up next. And again, you know, particularly, you know, Selfie Stick is a very particular sort of, you know, style of music. But again, it's nice, you know, we're going from track to track and it's slightly varying this different genre, you know. And you said before, you don't want to just, you know, be stuck to a certain type of music, particularly within electronic music. So, I mean, do you, when you start writing a particular song, do you know which of the sort of genres it's going to be from the outset, or does it sort of evolve as you do?
Absolutely. I go through stages. So there's a few tracks in there where I went through an underworld stage. There's a few tracks now where I went through a Nero stage. There's a few tracks where I went through a Chasing Status stage. And I just basically go through loads of stages, whatever music is, you know, inspiring me at that time, that is work, that will be my direction. I've already written the next album, or half of it, and it's a lot more punky and dark. So that's because that's where I'm at the minute.
I see. Let's not get ahead of us. We want people to concentrate on this album before you start talking about the next one. I'm looking forward to your acoustic sessions, which you'll do one day, I'm sure.
We will do. Well, Claire has already done Leather as an acoustic,
okay,
which sounds beautiful, so yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to come to that track and talk about that later. So, Control, what can you tell us about the actual basis of the track and the concept?
Okay, so without going into too much detail...
I wanted to go into lots of detail.
I have lived quite a colourful life. Let's just say... when I was a DJ, I used to sort of have a residency at a S&M fetish club.
I see.
So you can imagine some of the sights.
Was it a residency because it was that kind of club? Or was that a coincidence?
I just sort of know people, let's just say that, yeah? Okay. So I used to do nights down there, and I actually did an erotica after show party one night. And...
Were you wearing clothes when you did this?
I was wearing clothes. Okay. Okay, without sounding a little bit sexist here, when women wear fetish gear, they look beautiful. When men wear it, they look stupid. That's a fact.
What about when you wear it?
I never wear it. I just wear boring black jeans and a black t-shirt and just play tunes. So basically that Control song is all about the sub-dom relationship and a lot of the things that I witnessed during those nights, which were absolutely incredible.
I see.
Use your imagination.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, again, I'm not here to talk about myself, but I find with lyrics and songwriting, I always find it interesting. I don't always believe that the listeners and the audience should always know exactly what a song is about. And in actual fact, you know, people take different things when they hear it. Anyway, a song can never be to a listener what it means to the person that wrote it,
because
it's impossible. Yeah. But are a lot of your lyrics... you know, that kind of theme, yet maybe we don't even realise. I mean, is it sort of a common thing that you sort of go to?
Yeah, I would say so, definitely, yeah. I mean, a lot of them are based on personal experiences, so how is someone going to know what Silent 23 means? Yeah, they're just very personal. And the Control song is kind of obvious, because when I introduce it, I say, this is a song about S&M, who's got a fetish, put your hands up. And it's quite surprising that no one does.
All the shy ones look down, covering their eyes.
But I can always look around.
Also, he's just finished us off with selfie sticks. Now exactly. He wants to know.
I can always tell who has got that little dark side. And I can always say, I bet you have. And they also give me a little wink and sit to say.
Within a week, they're in the band.
Exactly.
And of course, on this particular track, we've got the wonderful guitar work from Phil, who of course is, you know, key part of the band and the live shows and, well, the whole setup. And... How did working with him come about?
AKA Pups. That's his nickname, Pups, because okay. he's got some big guns.
Oh, I see.
How did I meet Phil? So Claire got married last year, and I bumped into Phil. He was hammered. I was at your first gig. Quite shit, but I thought you got potential. And I thought if I joined you, you would be fucking brilliant. I went, oh yeah, give me a number then. So we got together, had a rehearsal, and wow, I was like, fucking hell, he's great, and he is great. So I would say when he joined the band, we became a proper band.
Yeah.
Prior to that, me and Claire were kind of, I was doing the electronics, Claire was singing, I wasn't really confident enough to be the front man, we kind of had a bit of a falling out, but we were over it now. So Phil joined the band, and we became a band.
Yeah, I you know, I can associate that because, you know, I do like electronic music that's actually not just electronic, and I think it's I think it's a nice feeling as well, you know, of camaraderie and togetherness, and you know, there's nothing better, you know, being on stage and performing, you know, is great, but it's much better when you're doing it collectively.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, and he is a great guitarist, and he's on that particular track. When I first heard that, I had goosebumps. It just, that track, the ending, it's just so, it's just so emotional, and especially now we've got Rich, our bassist, who's joined us now. As I mentioned before, he was a super fan. Or was that off offline? I can't remember now. But so he's joined us, and so we've got two guitarists now, and they are loving it because they are talking in chords, whereas I'm just going, do it like this. They're talking in chords.
Have you ever played a chord? Do you know what a chord is?
I can play power chords on my electric guitar.
For your spin-off rock career.
That's next. Now, to be honest with you, I started playing guitar and I just found it frustrating, and I got to a point where I just thought, I don't want to play other people's songs. I want to write my own songs, and that's kind of how it happened. But anyways, it's not about me, it's about Phil. So he's been a great addition, especially now with Rich.
The whole sound works. Like I said, it's a nice, the blend, you know, from track to track, it's, you know, slightly varies, you know, how much guitar is on, you know, track, you know, from song to song, but it definitely is part of the sound.
And I do think you mentioned earlier about psychedelic, and I do think that is our next sound. I want this to be a lot more psychedelic. I want it to be a wall of sound, you know, with our big visuals and stuff. I really want it to be kind of trippy. That's kind of the next phase.
Listen to Leg Puppy whilst on drugs.
Absolutely.
I'm not promoting drugs. They're kids.
No,
it's a joke. It's a joke.
So we did a gig. We do quite a lot of gigs at the Windmill, which is one of the most inspirational venues there is. It's just
the home of Bass Puppy as well.
The home of Bass Puppy, which is they only play very rare gigs, don't they?
So I hear.
Much acclaimed.
Very late at night. Very rare.
Yes, very late at night. I forgot what I was going to say now. I'm just Bass Puppied out. What was I saying?
The windmill. Something like that.
So we did a gig. We host bi-monthly nights down there. Leg Puppy Will See You Now. And we were supporting this band. And we went on, did a great set. All the kids were dancing. And one girl came up to me at the end and went, that was amazing. What are you called? I'm called Leg Puppy. Brilliant. Have you got any ketamine? it was a Monday night. I went, it's Monday night. Not on any day of the week.
I don't know if bi-monthly nights are only for bi people. Is that irrelevant?
We are obviously wearing leather. Yeah.
Gender neutral band.
Yeah. Do you know what? We have actually got, when I looked at our stats yesterday, 38% female, 1% non-binary.
Yeah.
And 61% man.
Other.
You do the math. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, you've confused me, I can't.
That's the idea with Leg Puppy, we like to confuse.
Yes. Well, we've done a lot of chatting, but we are going to hear Control now, and then we'll be back with one of my favourite Leg Puppy tracks so far. But for now, another great track. This is Control.
We both know it wouldn't last. You didn't wanna play anymore.
Welcome back. I'm Andrew Mallet. I'm still here. You're still listening to Artifactor Radio. It's the Astral Projection Special with the usual host of this particular show, Darren of Leg Puppy. Darren, I'm glad you're still here and you haven't gone off and got bored and done something else.
Yeah, and I'm not speaking in a robot voice either.
No, I know. This is the real you. I think people, well, I'm hoping that they'll appreciate the human touch.
Exactly. This is me with my dulcet Croydon tones.
I feel like you've revealed a lot of information as well. I think we could probably send it off a sort of analysis and... We might have all sorts of people getting in touch, wanting to take you under their wing.
Believe me, I've been there, done that.
Well, let's find out if the next track has any psychological treats up its sleeve. But I mentioned before, it's one of my favourite tracks of yours so far. As you know, I like the dancier side to electronic music anyway, and I know you do. And I think with a lot of Leg Puppy tracks, it you know, they vary. There is a 90s sound to some of it, because I know that's come from some of your influence. And I think this next track is probably a good example. Running Through a Field of Wheat. A very long title. Possibly the longest title on the album. Well, it probably is. Sounds like it should be something for a nice sort of flowing TV ad, but it's a bit, bit more dancing gritty than that.
You obviously know what it's about, don't you?
I think you should confirm... explaining it.
It's a very, very subtle dig at Theresa May and the Conservative government. We didn't want to write a track that was obvious, so we just called it Running Through a Field of Wheat. Claire wrote the lyrics in 5 minutes. I mean, Claire is a phenomenal songwriter. We bounce with each other, but she wrote that really quick. I want to give a mention to Paul LaSound, who's our producer. He put that track together. We were both on an Underworld tip. And you're right, it is one of our best tracks. The vocals are amazing, it's got loads of hooks, it's really dancey, it sounds very 90s. Someone described it, it's Fleetwood Mac meets Underworld. And I was like, wow, that's quite a compliment.
It's quite a good observation as well. It sort of, I think that does work. You mentioned in this particular song, she wrote it quickly, that what would be the usual process of the tracks? I mean, do you try and make it as collaborative as possible with all the band members, or do you find in the main, you do the bulk of it and they sort of embellish it?
I would say, yeah, I do the most of it because I'm a control freak. I'm sure they'd all agree with that. But, I've known Claire for a long time. Claire's, in her own right, a brilliant musician. She's a classically trained guitarist. She used to perform before she met me. So Leg Puppy is 16 years old, but it was probably only Claire performing as Claire Jones. So when we actually sat down and started writing songs, I think the first one was Leather, which will come later.
Yeah.
We both sort of thought, oh, wait a minute, we're actually quite good at this. And it kind of progressed from that. I will come up with an idea. I will say, look, Claire, I've got an idea for this song, but I'm struggling. Can you help me? She'll come round, we sit here like me and you are, and we just bounce off each other. And we usually get really good results.
Yeah. I know from experience that, especially, I must use myself, a lot of different vocalists, you want them to sort of take ownership of what they do to a degree anyway. There's no point giving someone a completed song and saying, sing this. You want them to make it their own. You want them to add things, and you want them to... But obviously, between the two of you, like you say, it obviously works well because, you've been doing it for a while and you know each other well enough. It just sort of smoothly works like that. And she's great on stage as well. Again, having seen you a few times, she's... she's a brilliant vocalist.
She complements the band, where you've got me being angry and aggressive and quite energetic. You've got Hugo Bamboo, Aka Simon, our clown, who's just clowning around. You've got Phil.
Come on to the clown soon.
Yeah, yes. you've got Phil, our guitarist, who's adding the guitar sounds. And then you've got our new guitarist, Rich, who looks the part. He's a big, gentle giant. And then you've got Claire, who kind of... adds a little bit of class to our sound. She's got a great voice, but she joins in with me. We have great on stage chemistry, but we're enjoying ourselves, we're having fun,
Okay, well, I'm glad you've clarified what this track's about. I think there's a lot of us that probably have the same feelings about our current government. Certainly people I know. I don't know anyone that thinks differently, but let's hear it. And I would advise all the listeners to crank it right up.
Woo!
Because that's what this track deserves. running through a field of wheat, and then we'll be back, and I think we will tackle the subject of clowns, because it's a key thing that must be discussed. This is Leg Puffy. Amazing new album that's about to come out by Leg Puppy. You've heard, you've heard five tracks from it, four more to go. Of course, I'm here with Darren, and as I mentioned before, of course, obviously down to the way that you choose to promote the band, the imagery, how you dress on stage. I think everyone will associate the word clown with Leg Puppy because that's what they see. And tell us, it's a very strong visual, it's a brand really. I mean, but why clowns in particular? You know, is there a reason?
You said the word brand, and it's true. You have to create a brand. It was Bowie back in the 60s when he created Ziggy. He created a brand.
You're comparing yourself to David Bowie now.
I am the new David Bowie. I've been called David Brent, but I'm the new David Bowie. But you know, it was Bowie who said, you know, I don't want my band members to go on stage in jeans. And I thought, wow, that's so true, because you've got half an hour to escape reality. Why would you go on stage wearing a pair of jeans?
Now you sound like Rusty Egan when he's having a go at me for dressing like a roadie on stage.
Absolutely. Well, there you go. Great minds think alike. And with the clown, I just wanted something really, really striking. So when you saw it, you went, ah, that's Leg Puppy. Because as you know, you're a musician yourself. We are living in times where it's never been easier to write music. It's never been easier to upload your tunes. So we're competing against hundreds of thousands, millions of other bands. You've got to stand out somehow. Then you have to find a way to be a little bit different. And I think that's what we're trying to do with our shows and our image.
And the clown in particular, I mean, was it a sudden epiphany you had?
One of my best mates, me and Ollie, we always joke about clowns and clown shoe, and that's one of our phrases, clown shoe and stuff like that. And why not have a clown?
I have to say, very, very good masks.
The mask, I did do a lot of research and I found that mask in Australia. Got it sent over and I was like, wow, no one else has that mask. Yeah. Brilliant, we have an identity.
Yeah.
And you know, like when you first do your first few gigs, you're not quite sure how to use it. We had a couple of dancers who would wear it, and then Simon came along, who is phenomenal. He knows how to use that mask. You don't have to dance, you just stand still, let it flash. That is enough for you to be unsettled. It's funny and scary.
Well, a lot of people say to me, you know, because a phobia of clowns is quite a common thing, and some people, including Artifact as top listener, are very worried about about it. And yeah, some people are scared by clowns, which I know is, you know, I think you enjoy that. You know, it's interesting to the point where people might be so scared by it that they can't listen to the music or go to a gig. But I guess you want them to conquer their fears. But it is a very, very powerful image.
It is. You know, and you said something there. Making music or being a creative person is about an emotional connection to someone. And the emotions aren't necessarily happy ones. They can be dark ones. They can be sad ones, you know. And if someone's coming to your show and they're shitting themselves, wow, brilliant. You know, some come and they just laugh. You know, we've had so many people come up and say, that's the best thing I've ever seen. And you're like, wow, do you not get out much? But they are great
shows.
And
they weren't bright. But yeah, but you're right, you know, at sort of that level of, you know, of the industry, you have to, if people don't remember you, you know, there is no point to a degree.
Of course. You come, you go, you're forgotten. You know, and we've had some incredible gigs where, like I said, people just said that was phenomenal. And we've had gigs where people hated us. We played Save Our Arms 2 weeks ago. We put on a great show. We cleared the room. They hated us. Simon sort of did a stage dive and sort of broke his leg. Well, I don't care. We were having fun. We had a great time. If you don't, that's your problem.
You can piss right off. Exactly. Those new Marmite adverts, they should get Leg Puppy.
Oh, actually, now you say that, you just give me an idea. I like it. Because I'm going through a... I used to be a film poster designer. So that's...
What went wrong?
What went wrong? It's you've got me there. I'm speechless for a change. It's quite a boring job, actually, because... There's only an image, credits and names. There's not much you can do with a film poster. And I did it for 12 years. I had some great posters, international posters, James Bond. Just got bored. But you know, I've just recently started doing Leg Puppy film posters. Like I uploaded one last week of Silence of the Puppy. And I just think that kind of thing is quite engaging. It's just a little bit different. It's humorous. You know, you have to add a little bit of humour into your crazy world.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where this is going. How do I get to this?
Well, no, this is good because I think, you know, like I said, I think, you know, currently, because of the way you've projected it, clowns are what people think of. So I think people do need to hear you explain it.
Yeah.
Because that's what you've become associated
clowns,
with. But you sort of touched on it there as well. You know, I know there's an underlying, you know, nice sort of touch of comedy to a lot of what you do, and that, you know, I think that's important as well to keep people to keep people's interest levels going. I mean, would you say there's a sort of tradition of sort of British comedies that you use as inspiration?
Yeah. I like the way you teed this up. Yeah. Partridge, obviously.
The King.
the King, you know, How's Bono?
Yeah.
You don't know that sketch?
No, I do, yeah.
How's Bono?
Yeah.
Bono's fine. How's The Edge? Yeah, The Edge is fine. Just bring, you know, obviously Partridge. Big, big thing of our show is Nathan Barley, all right? If you're not familiar with Nathan Barley, watch it. It was made about 15 years ago, and it was about the hipster culture. Written by Charlie Brooker, who does Black Mirror. So Charlie Brooker is way ahead, he always is. But it's all about the hipster crowd. And I would say a lot of our show is kind of bit Nathan Barley, yes. It's all tongue in cheek.
You can do a cover version of my No More Hipsters track if you like.
Bring it on. You're welcome to join us on stage as long as you want.
Well, I have joined your stage.
You want to get weird.
Oh yeah.
No, we've actually got, obviously don't want to talk about the next stuff, but we have started playing one of our new tracks live, and it's called Twit Machine.
Yes.
Well, so we finished.
That was one of the tracks.
Yeah.
I
so we finish our show with the track Twit Machine.
Yeah.
It's a very simple track. Twit Machine. I'm playing with my Twit Machine, and that was basically a Nathan Barley quote when he said, "We babble on a handheld Twit Machine," which is what we do.
Yeah.
So we start the gig with selfie stick, and we end it on the Twit Machine. But we get everyone jumping up and down, singing those lyrics: "Twit Machine, Twit Machine. I'm playing with my Twit Machine," and it works.
I'm thinking there's got to be a Twitter trend, Twitter machine. But anyway,
that's for the promo for when that song's released.
Okay, well, we're caught up in a lot of light chat, but the next track, talked about you know, which have been my favourite Leg Puppy tracks, and of course the next one is not only that, but it's a track that I've remixed myself. Now, it's not my remix on the album, but there are a lot of different versions of course, the track Utopia, which a lot of people, you know, have loved, and they've loved all the different versions, different remixes. Very, very, very honoured that my one had a video with it. I'd love to say that we went on a lavish film shoot to do it. Let's pretend that we did. But first of all, you know, what does the Utopia track mean to you? And also, why this particular version on the album? Did you have a dilemma which version to choose?
Massively, massively, massively. I loved your version. I loved your version a lot.
Thanks
a
lot.
I really did. It took us 3 attempts to get there, but when you played me the final version, I was like, yep, that is what I wanted. It was Underworld, wasn't it? And it's a phenomenal track with a phenomenal video from a friend who I work with. I've got the drum and bass mix done, which Discover Weekly picked up on Spotify, hence that track is now 130,000 like listens.
Not bad.
It exploded. It basically exploded. And of course, Paris Alexandre and Paris Alexander version as well. It's beautiful, really emotional track. And I sat there for ages thinking, which version do I want? Only reason your version wasn't on there, because it wasn't a radio edit. If you would have given me a radio edit,
it's all coming out now.
No, because
I'm gonna do a 7-inch radio
interview.
It's
a dance track. It's a DJ track. Oh,
no, I like my version as a remix.
It's brilliant. It's a really good remix. I've been really fortunate to, you know, have some amazing people remix my tracks, like a Russian band called Gnomes, who did a beautiful version of Black Light and She's Lost Her Soul, really trippy and psychedelic. You did a great remix. Paris Alexander's done some great remixes. There's so much talent out there, and that's what I'm trying to do as well, is just, you know, use all this talent out there.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And obviously, you know, the name of the track itself sort of lends itself to sort of something very uplifting, and you know, the Utopia 84 version, as it was.
I didn't even mention that version.
It is a very uplifting track, and you know, I guess sometimes you don't just record dark, aggressive music.
Well, let me into a little bit of a secret.
Occasionally you're happy.
The happy tracks are probably ones that Claire writes.
Oh, okay.
Claire wrote that song.
Beginning to think she should be here right now.
she wrote that song in 5 minutes, again.
Again?
She's so good. The original version, we recorded it and we were both really happy, but then I sort of went away and thought, it's way too poppy, especially with our live show.
It is very poppy, yes.
Yeah, and it's not the direction I wanted to be going in, hence why I haven't really promoted that track at all. But it is a beautiful pop record, and you know, it's great, but it's just too poppy for where Leg Puppy is right now, hence why you don't really hear me talk about it much.
Good for my perfect pop show, as it was,
yeah. It is a great track, but the whole subject, let's just talk about the subject matter, it's about biohacking. I basically saw a documentary once about biohacking, obviously there was some of it in Black Mirror. I'm just fascinated by that whole, you know, you can live in an alternative universe by having a little chip in your neck or something, or you can use the chip in your neck as a credit card or to monitor all your statistics in life. It's incredible.
There are a lot of, obviously Black Mirror is a great example, but there are a lot of other films and shows which sort of tackle the sort of what the future, you know, what the future might be like. Do you think that actually might happen in the end?
Probably a long time from us, but yeah, of course it will. You know, like the biohacking thing is happening. You can put a camera in your eye, you know, but it's not registered yet. It's still very kind of underground, but I just find it absolutely fascinating. And the track that you remixed was Utopia 044, which was the name of an experiment that I kind of invented. Video.
Something else you've invented.
Yeah, so basically the video.
You're
which,
my go-to creative
I know,
guy.
So my friend at work, Ewan, directed that video, and there's a bit in the video where this mad professor kills his daughter.
Yeah, I was very upset about that.
Very upset. So he kills his daughter and takes her away, but she hasn't been killed. She's basically had her soul removed, and the project is called Utopia 044. So she's then in an 044 state. She's then going to go up to Utopia,
yeah,
where there's going to be no selfies,
no clowns,
there's going to be no clowns, there's going to be no one swearing at you on the stage, there's going to be lots of love. So that's basically what that one was about.
Yeah, I feel much better about the video now. we should hear this particular version,
or shall we play yours? I feel like I should, really, you know.
Well, you know, let's say that in the meantime, my version has been playing underneath.
Yeah. that's what we can hear now, yeah.
To be honest, we've been talking so much, we've probably got enough time to play every single version.
Have, yeah.
But, well, this is... So what is the official name of this remix?
It's Utopia No Regrets, the Dan's Mix. And he's a guy that I met online through someone else, and he did this remix, which is an incredible remix. So there you go.
Yes, it is amazing, and you're going to hear it right now. This is Leg Puppy.
Thank you.
it's a topic that I speak about with people all the time, because of course not so much yourself, but when I interview a lot of people and it's 80s influences and it's sort of things that you sort of would expect of people of a certain age, but I think it's really important to get inspiration from current acts as well. So I mean, are there sort of artists out there now that maybe people don't know about that you think, you know, that have influenced what you're doing, but also you think deserve a bigger audience?
Big time. There's a Swedish band called Josephine Horn and The Liberation. And last year they released an album called Mirage. It's just one of the best albums I've ever heard. And I emailed the label and said, look, I'm totally in love.
Sign me up!
I've done that. I'm waiting to hear back. But like I said, I'm in love with this album. It's just incredible. I really want to get the singer, who's actually quite hot, to sing on one of my tracks. So I emailed.
Did you outline that in the email?
Didn't mention the hot bit. I hope she's listening.
Did you say I'll be wearing a mask on our first date?
Hello, Josephine. I am single, if you're around.
I may come dressed as a clown.
And so they gave me her email, and I emailed her, and she got back and said, I love the track, I'm up for it. And it was actually Blacklight 15.
Yeah.
But then they got really big and did a world tour, and I haven't heard from her since.
And you're dead to them now.
Josephine Horn, and I'm really into Scandinavian music at the minute because they just...
I feel like there's a bit of a boom for that.
They don't hold back. They're not following any genre and they're forward looking. You know, I almost have an issue, but people are stuck in, especially the 80s, they're stuck in that. And you know, people keep looking back. We should look forward because there's still amazing music being made. You know, I discovered a band the other day called Mare, it's a Danish band, and I listened to the song, I wrote a review for it, it just blew me away. It's just beautiful, it doesn't follow any genre. And when I emailed the girl, she just said, we write music from our soul, what makes us feel, rather than thinking we have to make a dance track or a trip hop track. And it's just beautiful, you know. I just think Scandinavians have got it. Sussed.
You write a lot of emails, don't you?
I do write a lot of emails. Well, I'm a freelance designer, so I get a lot of time off, so I spend most of it writing emails. And I just want to actually talk about a band called Goat.
Yes, I know you've spoken to me about them before. Yeah.
Oh man, they are the most incredible live band you'll ever see. Me and a mate went to see them. I'd heard of their music a little bit, didn't know what to expect. And it was like a whirlwind. It was like they were witch doctors and they invited you to be under one of their spells, and we both stood there, mouths open, just completely hypnotised by the show. Go and see them, amazing. Go.
There you go. I don't want to put too much emphasis talking about other artists too much because we're here talking about your album. But it's nice to hear. You know, I find it's interesting because there's a few of us that have different shows obviously on the station and we all play slightly different things and we all sort of discover different things and it's nice to hear where people go to hear things and what they hear and find inspiration and I think it's quite a healthy scene at the moment in the sense that, you know, there is so much music out there and you have got to hunt sometimes to find the good stuff, but it's worth it when you find it. Definitely worth it when you find it. So, Blacklight 15, a bit like Silence 23, is there absolutely no reason for the 15 whatsoever?
Well, the original Blacklight was on the album, and that was an instrumental. So, that was a solo project, by the way, first album. And I re-recorded it with Paul LaSalle, my producer, and he just made it sound kick-ass. And I could release it again called Blacklight, so...
I actually know what's good for the album. Get me to the 15th floor.
How's that? I knew there'd be a reason.
Yeah,
somewhere.
That's the lyric. Oh, Jesus. That's the lyric in the song. Get me. The song's basically about addiction. You know, we've all had various addictions in our life. I'm not saying I battled with addictions, but I have had certain little addictions.
You just accused all the listeners of all having an addiction.
Of course, I do this at my shows. I say, right, this song's about addiction. You've got an addiction. I just point at people because we've all got addiction. And it was totally inspired by Velvet Underground's I'm Waiting For My Man.
Okay.
So it's all about addiction, you know, get me to the 15th floor, I ain't coming back no more, feeling dead, dead and alive. You can make what you want of that, but it's kind of obvious now I've told you.
Yeah.
Whereas you would have known that before.
There's no mystery around this anymore at all.
Yeah.
And you just mentioned it before about previous album. This is not the first Leg Puppy album, but it sort of is in the current sort of setup. So you know, is that correct?
That is correct.
For the purposes of people that might not sort of be aware of how many albums there were out there and that sort of thing.
Yeah, we had a really busy year last year. We, you know, we released two EPs, two singles. Prior to that, it was actually September 2016, I released a solo project, which has got a terrible name because I was a bit naive. Feel the Wolf. I mean, what a shit name. But the guy, Rich, who's now our bassist, was kind of a fan of it, and he kept emailing me, I really love your album, it's brilliant. And I was like, wow, so I'm really flattered, and here he is.
See, you thought I was joking about fans at the gigs being in a band a week later, but actually, it happened.
So yeah, first proper album with me, Phil, Claire.
Should put that on the promotional blitz. First proper album.
Yeah, well, because they always say the difficult second album, don't they? Yeah, but this is a much better album than the first one because it's a
difficult
proper album.
The
difficult first proper album. It's been produced by a brilliant producer. I mean, Paul has worked with Roots Maneuver. He does Sound at the Windmill. He's worked with Goat Girl, one of the biggest bands around now. He's worked with Shame. You know, he's going on tour with Shame, who are, you know, on everybody's lips now to be the next big thing. You know, he used to work with the Fat White Family. This man knows his stuff, he's been doing it for years, and we get on really well. You know, we're into similar bands, so it was a great find, you know, finding him basically.
Yeah, well, we should hear Black Light 15.
Let's do it.
And and then we'll be back for the last two tracks on the album. Hopefully, everyone has been not only enjoying the chat, but the tracks so far. And here we go. This is Black Light 15.
Tell me what you hear.
Black light, look
have two tracks left to play on the amazing new Leg Puppy album. And the next track, which is called Leather, it's quite timely because yesterday you revealed to the world the video for this track. And of course, you've mentioned some of the sordid topics already in this show. And of course, we're going to have to talk about it now because some people might be scared of clowns, but maybe you've scared some people with the content of the video as well.
The song is loosely based on one of my mum's friends who had a bit of a secret. So his wife would go to work on a daily basis. He would stay at home.
Play Championship Manager.
Play Championship Manager when he won the league with sort of Barnet. You know, he'd obviously have a few breaks for certain things, but he would go to his wife's drawer and start dressing in all her kinky gear. It's not me, by the way, this is this man.
Okay.
So he started dressing up in her leather. You know, he kind of invented another character. He then kind of, he was basically a trans in the making, right? But he didn't know how to kind of basically come out. So he would dress in his wife's leather. He would mince around the house in the leather. Obviously, finished before she came home. Until one day, she came home early, and there he was. And it all, you know, it all came out. And he's now a trans, but very happy trans. You know,
are they still together?
They're not still together, no. They're still great friends, but you know, they're from Enfield, which is like, you know, it's a very kind of towny town, isn't it? You know, you don't get transvestites in Enfield.
Oh no! I've never done a survey of where they all live. I mean, who's to say?
It's just full of Spurs fans. That's what it is.
Surely you don't want to talk about football.
No, we won't talk about football. But yeah, we'll leave that. Yeah. So yeah, that song is about this guy. I won't say his name, but yeah. It's quite a really touching story that he's finally happy with who he is, and I say fair play.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you sort of, you know, with the video, you're obviously making a conscious decision to put something out there which, you know, visually stunning and provocative, and you know, I guess you're trying to sort of catch people's attention. The combination, you know, with the actual track itself, obviously works well. And another great vocal performance, the actual track itself. Yeah, so you know, again, it's like I said, it's all part of that imagery that you're trying to generate. So maybe for that song on stage, you'll be dressed slightly differently than usual.
We haven't actually, because we obviously did the tour. It came, you know, so quick. We haven't even had time to rehearse it. Like I said, Claire's done an acoustic version, so maybe we can play on that. And I like the idea of being electronic and being in your face, but then slowing it down with a kind of, you know.
Well, also with a song with such a subject matter as well, it's quite a nice contrast.
Yeah, and I can feel myself getting more weird on stage, so there might be a
time. Will the ironing board be back? I want to see the ironing board again.
You know what? I have got a phenomenal idea, which I'm not going to share with you.
I thought you were going to say a phenomenal new ironing board.
I have got a phenomenal ironing board. Can I
get my ironing done? I had to do all the ironing in my house. It'd be nice if someone else did it for a
change. I've not ironed for 2 years.
I iron.
I'll just wear it. Wear it the night before. Okay.
I have to have everything nicely crisply ironed, but then I iron everyone's clothes because no one else can do it properly.
I would admit it. So we've gone from fetishes, i.e. leather. You're an ironing fetish. It's okay.
Wanting things to be ironed properly.
You're amongst friends here. You know, we're talking about. I'm being open.
How can I possibly wear a crinkled shirt?
You've got your arms folded, so you're hiding something here.
But my point being is maybe I should save the ironing for one of your shows and bring it, and you can just do it at the same time.
That is a great idea. That is actually a very good idea. Bring your ironing.
So hashtag bring your ironing.
That'd be amazing.
I feel like we've really brainstormed here as well.
Well, I call it brainstorming because I am quite partial, as you know, in my WhatsApp messages to a few typos.
Oh, that's true.
Which is quite funny because I've invented a whole new language with my typos.
Well, when it starts adding the words to the dictionary, that's when you've got a problem.
Yeah. Well, no, I honestly, like, the word good doesn't exist. My friends, when they talk to me, they would say, how was it? It was really goof. Because I said goof once.
Yeah.
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 So, yeah. Bring on the typos.
But, you know, there's an art to texting. Give yourself, you know, have a breather. Give yourself an extra couple of seconds. It's like doing an exam. Don't rush the questions too quickly.
But do you know what, though?
You know, give yourself time.
But I, that's one of my pet hates, actually, and I will be writing a song about this.
Exams.
It's about people, it's about the grammar police.
Okay, yeah.
So people who have to correct your typos, yeah. Get a life. I dated a girl once, and she would correct my every single text to the end. Where I'm not going to text her, because I'm going to get a correction back, you know?
I would say if you're going to date someone, see them in person, not just text them.
Yeah, that's true.
That's probably where you went wrong.
It was more fun, though, texting her.
So here we go. This is Leather, and for those that haven't seen the video yet, I suggest you go and watch it immediately. Well, after this show, obviously, don't stop listening to this. Go and do it. You know, finish listening to the rest of the show, then watch the video. We give you Leg Puppy and Leather.
Am I going to wear the leather, or are you going to wear the leather?
I don't know. It looks like it fit
I've got
you
a
better.
Skirt or trousers? What do you think? Yeah?
It's going to fit you
this
better.
This bra's a bit tight. Anyway, let's listen to the tune.
I'm tired. You're tired. Now that I've left you alone with my leather. Thank you.
finale of the show. You've heard almost all the album. We're down to the last track, and well, the album is called You Should Be Paranoid, and we're going to hear the track Paranoid. But before we do that, just to sort of summarize where we are in the world of Leg Puppy, you mentioned the tour earlier. You play live a lot, very prolific. You obviously, you enjoy it, and you know it's important to get yourselves out there. Are you the kind of musician that lives for being on stage? I mean, do you get that buzz? I mean, people are different. You know, some people like the sort of recording of the studio in the studio. That's their thing. The record at the end. But quite a lot of people say, you know, they don't really care about that. It's all about performing live. I mean, where do you stand with that kind of thing?
It's all about live for me, definitely. Because it's your escape. So, you know, my job is, I'm a PowerPoint designer, which sounds rather dull, and it probably is. So, for that half an hour, I'm on stage as a character.
Yeah.
So you've got to escape from your 9-to-5 routine. And yeah, it's massive. It's all right, Buzz. You know, I won't say I'm a attention seeker, but when you're on stage, you are. You want that attention. So you make sure you put on a bloody good show. And yeah, it's a massive buzz.
You're definitely not shy on stage, I'll tell you.
No, I'm not. But that's, do you know what? That's partly to do with that past life regression experience, man. I'm doing hippie hands here. But it is, you know, I see a lot of young bands play, and they're technically brilliant. You stand and you think, wow, they sound incredible. But they just go, they do a song and they go, thank you. Do the next song, thank you. They don't engage, they don't talk to you, they don't tell you what the song's about. They, you know, three songs in, you go, okay, I get it. You know, entertain me. God, don't, please don't. Please don't quote who I think you're going to quote.
But would you say, on a sort of serious sort of level, because you've had this tour, but you play live a lot anyway, and you've got more dates coming up, and I imagine that you'll always play live a lot. Do you sort of have advice for sort of independent artists of any genre? Do you feel like, aside from the fact that you enjoy it, and like we've just discussed, in a constructive way, have you found that the fan base has improved by the amount of gigs that you do? I mean, would you say to people, everyone should always play live as much as they can?
Yeah, I would say that, definitely, yeah. We did a show last couple of weeks ago at the New Cross Inn, and a couple of fans from the Facebook came down, and I said, do you want to join us on stage? Do you want to wear a mask? Bring it on. They came, I think a husband and wife. They both wore a mask, they danced.
Husband and wife came on stage wearing
a mask. My friends, Stuart and Jane, who are the biggest music fans I've ever met. They're every night they're at a gig. They came, they had a mask, and it was totally immersive. So we had all these people wearing masks, joining us on stage, dancing, having fun. That's what I'm trying to create, an immersive experience. You don't just come to a Leg Puppy show, you're part of the Leg Puppy show. And I think that's important, because not many people do it.
But do you, where do you want it to, neither of us are youngsters. You know, where do you want it to lead to? Are you happy enough at the level it is, or when I talk about sort of growing the fan base, do you view it that you actually have a sort of, you know, a desire for it to reach a certain level?
Yeah, I'm not deluded, but I wouldn't mind playing in a dance tent at a festival. Like,
I hear Bestival have got a theme that might be right up your street.
It's a circus themed festival. I mean, come on, we're made for that.
Yes,
yeah. I have applied, and I've got quite a lot of people to retweet, so I haven't heard yet. But hopefully they will get it to us. We are actually doing Alice's Wicked Tea Party in June, which is like a festival for freaks, so I can't wait for that. That'd be brilliant.
I thought you were going to say festival for free. You did. You said freaks.
Free freaks. So yeah, maybe I can get my lever out for that one. Who knows? Or can I borrow yours?
yeah.
Actually, you could come on stage with Ryan.
Well, I don't need to iron leather though, do I? But yeah, everything else.
You could just iron everyone's clothes.
And so. I was rather hoping that you might ask me to play synths, but no. I'm going to come and play the iron.
Only if you promise to wear leather.
I see.
Yeah, then you're in.
On a technicality, I can wear my leather jacket. I can wear a leather jacket.
I want you to be in Leg Puppy. You do know that. Because I think it'd be good.
But you know, because I've got so much free time on my hands.
Exactly, yeah.
But I'm very excited that, you know, this particular show has been a bit of a, you know, a little bit of a comeback. Like I said, sort of... you know, it's I've missed the airwaves for all of like about 3 weeks.
You just can't keep away.
Yeah.
You're addicted.
I think before we hear the last track and obviously, you know, leave everyone to digest the album, you know, the album's called You Should Be Paranoid. The last track is called Paranoid. So is on top of all these dark themes that we've heard, paranoia presumably is one of them.
you could be paranoid. Basically, the song Paranoid is about 10 years ago, I got my identity stolen. So I was getting probably about 5,000 spam emails a day. I was getting driving license inquiry sent to my house. I got the bailiffs come around one day. Literally, my identity was completely stolen. And there's some of the lyrics in the track: Ugandan dollars, Viagra 2, marriage proposals, especially for you. You should be paranoid.
Someone would want to be you?
Well, there you go. This was before Leg Puppet, so I know, it's amazing. That track is about the overall online paranoia, because it's big, man, online paranoia. I am very paranoid, because that experience was horrible, you know.
Yeah, it sounds it.
They basically stole my identity. They maxed 4 of my bank accounts. So I was, not that I had it, but I was 25 grand overdrawn. Because they had all my identity. So imagine going to, you know, just got paid, went to get my money out. Oh no, sorry sir, you're £25,000 overdrawn.
Please go directly to jail.
So, that was the most angry I've ever been.
The real anger.
100 times more anger than Leg Puppy have ever been. It was chaos. I caused chaos. Who wouldn't?
Well, yeah.
Yeah? So yeah, that song is about that experience, which wasn't particularly nice. And obviously Claire didn't write that one. You probably tell. It's quite funny though. You can listen to the chat and go, this is a nice one. Claire wrote that. Yeah.
She didn't write that in 5 minutes. You wrote this in 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's taken 10 years to write it.
Hopefully you've now, you can put closure on it, maybe.
I can put closure on it, yeah. So there you go.
The next album's going to be, I think you said it's going to be even darker. So the next album really should be very light and fluffy.
I won't say it's going to be darker. I just think because we've got 2 guitarists now, our sound has changed a little bit. So it would be more live, that makes sense?
Yeah,
more live. Oh, someone's phoned me.
It's the police telling you you're 35 grand overdrawn.
It's your wife saying, Andrew, we've already done the bloody ironing.
As it happened, she would wear it unlined. It's me making.
Oh, I would say she would wear leather. But you're telling me some of your secrets there.
It's not that kind of arrangement.
Kind of stop now.
So there you go. Would you say in closing there that, you know, what would your mantra for Leg Puppy be if you had to say one line that this, you could, you know, sum everything up in one line? Very good.
Spinal Tap. Well, that kind of brought it in, didn't it? Because we're we're not a joke band, but we like to have fun.
I'm not sure that everyone would be paranoid, but I think there would be no one that would forget your music in a hurry. That is for certain.
That is a big compliment. thank you very much.
And I'm a fan.
That's why we do it, isn't it? To bring joy.
Yeah.
Joy on all various levels.
All inquiries to you on hearing this show and buying the album. Like I say, February the 2nd.
Yeah. Excited.
Yeah. And it won't be hard for people to come and find you on a stage anytime soon either. So people have got no excuses. And I would say, you know, talked about all different aspects of the live shows, but what I would say is the fact... You know, I like electronic music that when it's live, there's an extra level to it. I like extra, you know, instruments and musicians on stage. I like that. You know, there's no point it being the same as the record anyway. And it's entertainment, definite entertainment. And it's a great album. So I encourage everyone to listen, buy it. Don't just listen to it, buy it as well.
Wise words.
Yeah. So thank you for joining me on your own show.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for. So I say welcome. Welcome. No. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. It's been good.
And you know, it just leaves me to ask: have you got a second series?
Yes.
Have You Got a Second Album? Have You Got a Second Album?
Just Smell My Cheese.
Lots of people outside the UK won't know what we're talking about, but...
Google Smell My Cheese and then you will see.
I wouldn't Google a lot of the song titles on your album.
I wouldn't Google a lot of songs, but you can Google Smell My Cheese.
And on that bombshell... I will leave you. This has been Andrew Mallet on Artifactor Radio with Darren Lawrence of Leg Poppy, of course. We will leave you with the track Paranoid, and we will see you very, very soon.
Thanks a lot.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.
She really